over the last year, the majority of ARA has, especially in the U.S., has been dealing specifically with just let's confront the fascists, let's confront the National Alliance, let's confront the COTC. Something in my mind is, are we doing the right thing? Because ARA used to have a much varied strategy. We used to be in a lot of different places, Cop Watch, you know, we did the Klan stuff, but we did a lot of stuff. Now we're very focused on fascism. Why are we doing that? Why are we focused on fascism? I don't think it's a bad thing. What's going on in the world today that necessitates that? You know, we have over in Europe, in India, growing fascist movements. Is that something we're going to see here? You know, are we going to have a fascist movement emerge in the United States or Canada? Like, is the National Alliance going to come to power? I don't think so. What are we going to see here? You know, what is the new terrain that different fascists can openly work on? I don't have an answer. I don't know, for us ARA people, what we should be doing. I support what we've been doing, like fighting the fascists. But is that the future? Do we really think that, you know, we're in such bad shape politically on the left that there's a real chance for a new fascist movement to emerge? Like here in the U.S., it's happening in other places.
What I'm really glad to see is like an international perspective here on fascism. And of course, we all know that fascism, white supremacy, is not just the Klan, you know, World Church of the Creator, and all those folks. And I'm going to bring up white privilege. I think that was brought up as saying that it was a fact here in the United States. Well, in my opinion, I think white privilege is hanging up folks, especially in the left, especially in the anarchist movement, from critiquing non-white nations, however you want to call that, their ruling class. What about Zimbabwe, Mugabe? What about, we bring up India, we bring up Pakistan? You don't see that, in my opinion, you don't see that enough of critique of those state ruling classes by anarchist organizations, in my opinion, and others, because they're, you know, looking again at the idea of a failed national liberation struggle. You know, those are important things, but, you know, those seem to be off limits if you're allegedly a white person. You know, that because if there's a white privilege, you can't go there. So, you know, I think that's something that needs to be dealt with, and people, we need to go past that so we can have an international perspective and confront fascism in all different forms of how it's manifested in, you know, the state ruling classes throughout the world.
I don't know if I would say that, like, the reason the fascists are growing is because the left is kind of discombobulated. I kind of see it as in terms of society getting polarized, you know, and when things are basically good and it's easy to ignore the problems around us, like, we tend towards the center, and when huge things happen like September 11th or a major economic downturn, people start looking towards the other ends of the spectrum and start looking for more radical solutions. And I think that, in a way, the rise of fascism, the rise of like revolutionary movements like anarchism, socialism, tend to be somewhat linked by the environment that they're in. And what happens then is, you know, it's very possible that one just wins very quickly, you know. And I think that we kind of saw that, in Germany. I think we've seen that here with anti-fascists just building up so much and just crushing the fascists before they can get to any really hugely dangerous proportions. And I think that we have a possibility of doing that now. We see the National Alliance on a rise, not so much maybe on a membership rise, but getting their shit together and getting people who've been down ideologically to actually start getting active. You know, I think we have an opportunity now to just completely outmaneuver them and crush them. No. The problem that I see is, what do we do then? You know, what do anti-fascists do then to keep that kind of momentum going? Or is it going to be a situation where, you know, we kind of fall apart, you know, because there's no more real direct threat, and then we wait for the direct threat to come again, and then we build up again, you know?
Okay, I mean, I think directly to that, one of the points Don seems to make in this book, I think, pretty well, is that the contest with the fascists is not only a physical contest, maybe not even primarily, and it is a contest about organizing and creating a consciousness, struggling for consciousness in people that is an anti-fascist consciousness and therefore resistant to the efforts of fascists to organize them. You know, I think there's sort of a vulgar Marxist analysis, never saying any Marxist actually had it, but it's like fascism bad, you know, I mean, on the sort of Saturday Night Live Frankenstein monster level. Working class good, oppressed people good, you know, therefore fascism, you know, must be the bourgeoisie just pulling some strings. I mean, that sort of pawn graphic that's in there, and you know, all of that is wrong. I do think that the working classes in the world have participated in a lot of things under this epoch that we're in, independently of the bourgeoisie. You can't rely on like some kind of presuppositions about people's class interest is going to, you know, make them do the right thing, because it doesn't work that way, because people's class interests are very fractionated in reality. And I think that part of what we're seeing in relation to failed nationalisms is that those realities exist not only on the basis of white supremacy, that white supremacy is one manifestation of that participation that people have, but there are many others, neocolonialism and warlordism and a lot of other avenues that the system provides in which people are contending for power and for survival and for a future. And I think that's the terrain that we have to situate our answers to these questions on. And you know, the answer that they gave, you know, in that period was the good bourgeoisie in England and the United States and you know, the stalwart Soviets will unite and, you know, crush the danger of fascism. I mean, and you know, Trotsky and a lot of those people, you know, still think that's what happened and still think that's what has to continue to happen. And, you know, I think struggling for some revolutionary understanding about anti-fascist struggle is trying to understand how you situate an anti-fascist struggle in the context of a bigger revolutionary struggle that is about uprooting patriarchy and uprooting all the pre-existing forms of division and oppression, exploitation, white supremacy, colonialism, and everything else, not just like, oh, well, we're going to, you know, snip that in the bud and we don't have any problems anymore. And thank the Chicago chapters and the organizers for the book, for the conference.
I'm going to get back to these, and then the informal discussions of the book will begin.